basketball, but it isn't necessarily the brightest of skies either. Welcome in a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM. You can find us streaming online as well at kgymradio.com. Great program for you over the next 120 minutes or so. So sit down and strap yourselves in. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com set to join us inside the 5 o'clock hour this evening. He's going to bring with him Nicholas Baer, former Hawkeye, who's still chasing his professional basketball dreams. He's going to be looking back on last night's 89-77 loss at Indiana as well. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to chat with Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, CBS Sports TV analyst, as well as columnist at CBSSports.com. Talk a little college hoops with him. And he's going to explain why Steve Prohm and the Iowa State coaching staff are going to be wearing green ties tomorrow during this Cyclones game. By the way, you can hear that game right here on KGYM. All that and an opportunity for you to take home our final $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. That's coming up right here inside hour number one. Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse, great place to stop for a last-minute Valentine's gift. If you completely forgot that today was February 14th, you can find them on Highway 151 on the east side of Marion. Phone lines to reach us, and I know you want to weigh in on Iowa basketball today, 319-366-1600. That doubles as the First Federal Credit Union text line, 366-1600. Alex, all three of us last night predicted an Indiana win. It came to fruition. Indiana wins 89-77. I don't know why people are acting as surprised as they are today. Maybe it's the injury to CJ Frederick.
It's by far the most important revelation from last night.
But the sky is not falling. All seasons of Iowa basketball are not created equal. No one's using the F word on the program today, okay? Buttons, nobody gets through that wants to talk about fade. We're not using that term here. Ain't happening. Because this is not your typical Iowa basketball season. This is that's a game last night where you had guys on the court who have absolutely no business being on the court.
That's as simple as you can put it, and it's absolutely true.
And Cordell Pensel better feel awful contrite about his role. Yeah, he didn't play a minute in last night's loss, but he had a part to do with it. 89-77, Indiana wins. Iowa's down with Pensel being suspended last night and then C.J. Frederick going off with what looked like a very bad ankle injury late in the first half. Iowa's down to six scholarship players. I don't want to sit here and make excuses for them or say that losing is okay, but that loss last night, to me, not the end of the world.
To me, if they lose that game and that's all that happens last night and CJ Frederick doesn't get injured, it's one of those discussions that, okay, well, they played poorly on the road. They didn't shoot well. They didn't defend well. They allowed another guy to have a career night against them shooting in Devontae Green. But can they go on the road to Minneapolis and play better? We're talking about that. The injury to CJ Frederick is once again crucial because without him on the court, I don't know what the upside of this team is. Because quite honestly, when he's not out on the court, they only have two people that can put the ball in the basket. And that's an issue. When you have two guys that can score and teams can put more attention on Joe Wieskamp and more attention to take him away, it makes it a lot more difficult for him to score. So beyond anything, what does that ankle injury look like for CJ Frederick? How many games is he going to have to miss? Because you look ahead and there are no gimmies left. There aren't. There's nobody left on the schedule where you say, Iowa is definitely going to win that game. And without C.J. Frederick, I think that that's definitely the case. But last night could not have gone much worse from a bad luck standpoint as to losing him in the first half.
How are you feeling about the Hawkeyes today? 319-366-1600. Luka Garza was tremendous last night. 38 points on 14 of 22 shooting from the floor. Wieskamp chips in with 16. But you watch that game and you could tell. You could tell Iowa wasn't going to win that game. And that was before C.J. Frederick went down with the ankle injury. It is, Fran McCaffrey said on his post-game last night, an ankle sprain. They don't know the severity of the injury yet. I don't think Iowa has put anything out specifically about it, but Fran McCaffrey did say it's an ankle sprain. Now, the good news, if you're looking for good news, is that when Frederick missed time in January, it was with a left foot injury. This is the right ankle, so it's a different ankle. But if it's a severe ankle sprain, he's going to be out for a couple games at a bare minimum. And that includes this weekend's trip to the Twin Cities. I still think Iowa can beat Minnesota. But as you said, they've got six games on the schedule left, six quad one opportunities. So that was a quad one loss last night. It's not the end of the world. But it's going to get more and more difficult with each passing game, as you know, they're basically to the point right now where they can't suffer another injury, or they can't lose one more player, or one more player can't do something stupid like driving with a revoked license where he gets suspended for a game.
And they can't lose at home either.
And they can't lose at home. Now, we had best case scenario the other day with Chad Lystico. 5-2, most realistic scenario. You got to poach a win or two on the road, but you can't lose at home. And I saw people saying last night, and Seth Davis is getting absolutely crucified for his tweet last night, and I think he should be, because I think it was an ill-informed thing to say. He basically said, Iowa's the type of team that you pick against in the NCAA tournament because they're terrible. He said on the road. Now, a number of people were quick to point out, hey, Seth, the NCAA tournament is played on a neutral venue, and Iowa has some neutral floor wins this year. Again, he put something out there into the Twitter sphere that was ripe for criticism, and he got killed for it.
But he is right that they have been bad on the road.
But so is every Big Ten team, and that's life in the Big Ten. Now, here's the cautionary thing. Iowa has one win on the road in Big Ten play, and it's Northwestern, which I don't think you can count that, because Northwestern's one of the two worst teams in the league. Now, they've got an opportunity again this weekend. They can go up to the Twin Cities, go into Williams Arena, win on the road there. It'd be a good road win for them. It's just difficult for me to sit here. I watched last night the reaction on Twitter, and it seemed to be one of two camps. You're either bending over backwards to defend Fran McCaffrey and this team. They don't need defending. They don't need anybody to hold their hands. People were either bending over backwards to explain away the loss last night, or people were total chicken little, the sky is falling and there's no in between. I'm here to tell you there's an in between, at least right now. It's not a very fun in between. But there's an in-between.
The in-between is they win a few games, they stay afloat, they dog pedal towards the finish line and still get into the NCAA tournament. Is that the in-between you're speaking of?
Yes, and for God's sakes, at the beginning of the year, I think every single fan would have signed on for that.
I 100% agree, and also,
right?
They're going to be one of about 9 Big Ten teams doing exactly the same
thing.
And
all you need is a ticket to the dance. It doesn't mean you're going to go very far, but you get the right matchups. We're 48 hours away, or 48 hours removed from the last round of bracketology coming out, and a number of people on Twitter saying, oh, this is a perfect path for Iowa to the Sweet 16. All of a sudden, one ankle sprain, and the season's over. Well, it's not over. You got six regular season games left. You got however many games are going to be played in the Big Ten tournament. And you still, in my opinion, have the NCAA tournament to look forward to. What? You don't have to be A. You don't have to be C. You can be B. You can be in the middle. You can acknowledge that things aren't great right now by also acknowledging that the sky isn't falling. Let's go to the phone lines. 366-1600. We're going to let Jim in Belle Plaine lead off tonight. Jim, what's on your mind?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you guys more. That was, and nobody's played well on the road in the Big Ten. I mean, look at Michigan State at Purdue. But the big thing out of last night's game, the games that Iowa's played well, they've had 3.5 scores. Either Kreener's helped out or Connor's had some games. And those other three, Frederick, Wieskamp, and Garza are always there. But, boy, if they don't have CJ, that's going to be tough down the stretch. But they're at the beginning of the year, if you'd have told me Iowa could go 10-10 in the conference and that would get them a 6 or 7 seed, I would have jumped out of my skin because there's no way I thought that was going to happen.
Exactly. So. And it's all about keeping things in the proper perspective. We appreciate the phone call, Jim. Thanks for listening. 366-1600. At the beginning of the season, nobody thought this team was going to do anything, especially acknowledging that Jordan Bohannon was going to play 10 games, the cutoff. He was going to get to the cutoff point, and that was going to be it. He wasn't going to play after. So we all knew that essentially by mid-December, this team was going to be left to its own devices, and whatever happened was going to happen. They've exceeded expectations, and because of that, rather than allowing them to exceed expectations, what a lot of the fan base has done is they raised the bar. The bar wasn't up here at the beginning of the season, and now you're holding them to where the bar has been moved to. None of this translates to radio. We're not ESPN. We're not the big boys. We're not on TV. You can't see. I'm gesticulating with my hands here like some sort of gorilla. Next thing you know, people will be calling me Coco here in the building. It's T-Bone. I prefer T-Bone. 319-366-1600. So Iowa now has become a victim of its own success, and the next six games are going to be misery, whether you're a fan, whether you're us sitting behind microphones, because now every time something goes wrong, it gives the Chicken Little crowd that much bigger of a megaphone. You don't have to be everything is great, and you don't have to be the sky is falling. You can look and acknowledge the situation for what it is and just say, hey, this was shaping up to be one of those really fun seasons where they just exceed expectations and the fan base has rallied behind them. And the next thing you know, a couple things go wrong. And yeah, well, they're still going to make the tournament and who knows what's going to happen. Don't give up on them.
The perspective that I have, though, looking at it objectively, is I thought that the three scores that they had, that they have, and now one is injured in C.J. Frederick, were really the best they've had under the Fran McCaffrey era. And it's easy to say that when Luka Garza's averaging 24 points per game, but those three guys working together is the best ingredients that they've had in the Fran McCaffrey era. Without C.J. Frederick, I had said it that this team, I thought had the mental toughness, the offensive ability to get to the Sweet 16. Without CJ Frederick, I don't say that. I think that they're a tournament team. I don't think they're a second weekend team. So that's the perspective we're having. But like you said, back to the beginning of the season, just getting into the NCAA tournament was impossible to a lot of people, and that was before all of the injuries came. It's before we knew whether or not Jordan Bohannon was going to play. So I don't have high expectations for them going on the road to Minnesota. I don't. I don't think they're going to beat Minnesota because they've been bad on the road. And until they prove otherwise, that doesn't change for me. So that means they have to take care of business at home.
I think they beat Minnesota this weekend.
Fair enough. I don't.
You don't. I mean, and that's the beauty. You don't have to agree with me. And I may be out here on a very lonely island, and on Monday, if they lose, then more of the Chicken Little crowd can call in and they can take a victory lap. That's how sports talk radio works. It does work by you calling in, though. 319-366-1600. Gary Parrish of CBS Sports is set to join us in just a few minutes, and we're looking forward to having Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com in the studio with us. There is a pattern, and it was pointed out, I believe it was Rob who pointed it out last night on Twitter, that in Iowa's losses, the road losses, the scoring has not been, the scoring defense, I should say, has not been solid.
103 points to Michigan, 89 points to Penn State, 76 to Nebraska, 82 to Maryland, 104 to Purdue, and then 89 last night against Indiana.
That's not good.
No.
So there's plenty to critique here, but I'm sitting here. It's been 15, maybe almost 20 years since I can remember enjoying an Iowa basketball season as much as I've enjoyed this one, at least as an observer who has stepped back. I mean, I'm not dressed to head to toe in black and gold face paint or anything, but this has been a really enjoyable season. These kids are enjoyable. There's not a young man on this roster that you can really necessarily find fault with other than maybe Cordell Pemsel's judgment. And again, if they have him last night, I don't know whether it changes the outcome, but it certainly changes what Fran McCaffrey and his staff are able to do as far as the team that they're able to put on the floor.
I've gotten questions from a lot of people wondering why Cordell Pemsel sees minutes. Look back to last night and tell me why he sees minutes. That is Exhibit A. 12 to 13 a game, and you don't realize how valuable they are, whether they're effective or not. You don't realize how valuable they are until they're gone. That's all I'll say about that.
So now you've got to win the games that are in front of you, and guess what? That's nothing's changed. They've had to win the games that were in front of them from the get-go. They would still very much like to get that top four seed for the conference tournament, to get that double bye where you don't have to play a Thursday game, but that right now is in peril. But weren't we just saying before last night that all bets are off in the Big Ten this year? That if you're 1 through 12, you've got a shot? I mean, who's going to be 11 and 12 this year? You want to play the 11th or 12th seeded team on a Thursday? I don't think so. On a Friday? I don't think so. Because anything can happen on any given night in this league. 319-366-1600. We got to get to a big board update here quickly. If you want to weigh in, we've got about 60 seconds or so before we can move on. Do want to pass this along. This is a note. Major League Baseball has announced, amid all of the public relations nightmare about the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal, that they have agreed to give minor league baseball players a pay raise in 2021.
How nice of them.
Yeah. Shiny object. Here's a shiny object. Don't talk about our major scandals that are going on. We got time for one phone call. Doug in Coralville weighs in on the Hawkeyes. Doug, you got the last word. What is it?
All right, great to talk to you guys. I have a theory on Iowa's road woes, and let me see what you guys think on this. Ever since they stopped playing Drake and you and I at their place, unless it's Iowa State, Iowa never plays a road game out of conference. They play neutral site games. They don't play any road games. And I think that has a huge impact when they get into conference play, because nobody knows what to expect when they're on the road. And I think that's showing, it's been that way for the last couple, 3 years since, like I said, I think it correlates with when they stopped playing at Cedar Falls and at the Knapp Center. See what you guys think about that.
I think it's an interesting theory. I wouldn't put too much stock into it, but this team, they've played on the road in neutral environments and they've been successful this year. I mean, if they were losing the neutral environment games, they batted 500 earlier this season. They lost to San. Well, guess what? Everybody else has lost to San Diego State too. But they went to the United Center and beat Cincinnati. They went to Ames and beat Iowa State at Hilton. This team can win on the road. So I don't know whether I put too much stock into that.
I had somebody ask me why Iowa basketball teams can't win at Maryland or have struggled at Maryland. Is it because of the Under Armour basketball? That was the first time in like 5 years I got that reference.
We have to look for excuses every time our team loses. Sometimes it's just not your night.
That same person goes, there's just no explanation for it. I was like, well, there is an explanation for it. It's that both Maryland basketball programs are really good, and it's hard to win on the road.
The Iowa women got embarrassed last night because Maryland was PO'd. You know, they were tired of losing the last couple games, and you go into their building, and you got a target on your back, and bullseye. Well, Phil DeFoe, for those of you who are unaware of how bad of a night it was in basketball terms for the University of Iowa last night, here's a big board update from Alex.
As Todd said, it was a tough night for the Iowa basketball teams. The women suffered a 93-59 setback at the hands of Cedar Rapids native Brenda Fries and the Maryland Terrapins last night in College Park. The Terps are now alone in first place in the Big Ten with a 12-2 record, while the Hawkeyes fall to 11-3 in conference. Things may have actually been worse for the men. Despite 38 points from Luca Garza, Indiana defeated Iowa 89-77. Devontae Green of Indiana was the latest in a long line of players to have career shooting nights against the Hawkeyes. He had 27 points on 7 of 11 shooting from beyond the arc. On top of all of that, Iowa third leading scorer C.J. Frederick left the game in the first half with what appeared to be what was called an ankle sprain by Fran McCaffrey. He did not return, and now we're finding out he will not play on Sunday against Minnesota, according to Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation. It's opening day for the Iowa baseball team. They're in the 92-degree and sunny weather in Port Charlotte, Florida, taking on Kent State. They're in the bottom of the fourth inning. We're going to get you a score update in just a second, but Jack Dreyer is getting the start for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They lead 1-0, as I mentioned, at the end of the fourth inning. In other Iowa baseball news, former Hawkeye baseball player Justin Toole, who both played and coached in the Cleveland Indians organization, has been elevated to the Major League coaching staff as a hitting analyst. It may be February 14th, but there's no love lost between the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders and the Waterloo Blackhawks. Those two rivals are going to battle it out the next two nights with a 7:05 p.m. puck drop in Waterloo tonight and a 7:05 start in Cedar Rapids tomorrow at the I'm on Ice Arena.
Syracuse as well. Thank you to the listeners who are pointing that out.
You can add that to the list.
Road wins, neutral, and true road wins. 366-1600. The college basketball discussion will continue. Gary Parrish of CBS Sports stops by, and after we chat with Gary, you're going to have an opportunity to take home that $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. It's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
We've got your best interest in mind. When you park your savings at DePaco Community Credit Union, you could earn more thanks to the above market rates. Locked in or liquid, fixed or variable rate. DePaco has options that give you the access to cash that you need, and your accounts are federally insured by NCUA. Your money for good. The deposits you make at DePaco are recycled into loans for your friends and neighbors. Now that's a concept in everyone's best interest. And you'll be money ahead with free tools like You Name It Savings Accounts, savings buckets for whatever you wish, and Change Up Savings rounds up your debit card spending to the nearest dollar, automatically moving that extra change to an account that you choose. Easy money. Let us pique your interest. See all our savings and deposit rates at DePaco.com/rates or call or visit any DePaco office to discuss the many ways we can help you save. It's in your best interest. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the new Jim OT, 107.5 FM. You can stream us as well online, kgymradio.com. Plenty more to get to before 6 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com joining us at 5 o'clock. He'll bring with him this evening former Hawkeye basketball standout Nicholas Bear. And speaking of college basketball, we'll continue our discussion that we've had so far today on the heels of Iowa's loss last night at Indiana. Happy to have CBS basketball columnist and TV analyst Gary Parrish joining us here on the program. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. He's also the host of the Gary Parrish Show in Memphis. What kind of a maniac would name a show after themselves? Well, I guess we do that here. Gary, how you doing today?
I'm great. I appreciate you guys having me. You been okay?
We are doing all right. We're dealing with the cold here in eastern Iowa and the fallout from Iowa's loss last night in Bloomington. But before we get into the Hawkeyes, let's just talk college basketball in general here this season. If I put a gun to your head right now and I said, who's the best team in college basketball, could you give me a straight answer?
No, because I don't think there's a clear-cut best. But I think if you maybe phrased it this way, who would you feel most safe predicting to win the national championship? I would probably go with the Kansas Jayhawks because they seem to check most of the boxes. They're tremendous at the point guard position. They're tremendous in the middle. They've got a Hall of Fame coach. They've got shooters, even if they're not a great shooting team. They're experienced and talented. They've got at least two NBA players on that roster. So I do think it's opened up a little bit more than usual for non-traditional teams or powers to win this national championship, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But if I had to only pick one team right now, it's not the team that I think should be ranked number one in the country right now, but if the NCAA tournament started today and I could only have one team, I would probably go with Bill Self's Jayhawks.
Gary, you've been covering college basketball for a long time, so I have to ask you this question. We've been having a discussion all year long whether we're seeing a lot of competitive parity in college basketball or whether we're seeing a lot of mediocrity. What do you think?
I think that perception became a real thing early in the season because one team after another ranked in the top five, including teams that were ranked number one, just kept losing. And when you've got big brands very early, like Duke losing to Stephen F. Austin and Kentucky losing to Evansville, it's sort of it hammers it home. And then it just becomes something that people continue to repeat, that there are no great teams in college basketball. But I'm glad you brought this up because I was looking at it this morning. Because it was topsy-turvy for much of November, December, and even January, we have settled in pretty well. And the top, at least eight teams in the country, in my opinion, not necessarily the eight best or the eight that the computers like the most, but the eight that should be ranked 1 through 8 based on accomplishment, based on resume, they've been operating at a really high level for a significant amount of time right now. The teams I'm talking about, by the way, Gonzaga, Baylor, San Diego State, Kansas, Dayton, Maryland, Duke, Auburn. And if you take those teams and add it up, they are a combined 175-16 on the season, and they have combined to win at this moment, heading into this weekend, 105 consecutive games. So I don't know if they're great, but you know, relative to last year or 2 years ago or 10 years ago, but they are great relative to the rest of the teams in this country, it certainly appears. And they, in either way, even if they don't have the same type of talent that we saw some of the best teams in the country possess last season, they have very similar records. If you go back and look at the AP poll this time last year, the top eight teams in that poll were a combined 170 and 15. Right now, the top eight, in my opinion, are a combined 175 and 16. So there's not much difference there year to year, at least record-wise. Where there is a big difference is in the quality of NBA talent on those rosters, because if you go look at projected lottery picks right now, and then you look at how many of them are going to play in the NCAA tournament, I think for most people at this moment, the number is only three. We're not going to have but very much NBA talent in the NCAA tournament, and that makes winning a championship much more realistic for teams like Gonzaga, Baylor, and even San Diego State.
CBS Sports' Gary Parrish with us, talking college basketball on a Friday evening here in Eastern Iowa. We'll get to coaching for literacy, which is the reason why Gary is joining us here coming up in just a few minutes. But let's take San Diego State out of the equation. You already mentioned them, 24-0 this season. Without San Diego State in the equation, which team has surprised you the most this season and why?
Well, that's definitely the one. I mean, they started 97th at KenPom, and now they're in a position to be undefeated on Selection Sunday, be a one seed, perhaps even the number one overall seed. So if you ask that question without your qualifier, everybody with a brain would have to answer it that way. Outside of that, maybe Dayton. Like, I thought Dayton would be good, but I didn't think Dayton would be, you know, in play for a one seed. I thought they were maybe a top 40 team, something like a 9, 10, 11 seed in the NCAA tournament. But fast forward to today, that team is 22-2. And the two losses, one's to Kansas in overtime, one's to Colorado in overtime. So the two losses are both to top 25 teams on neutral courts, and neither one of them are in regulation. The only teams in the country that haven't lost in regulation this season are San Diego State, because they're undefeated, and Dayton. And I think among the reasons Dayton's so good, so surprising, is because Obi Toppin is so good, so surprising. He's somebody who was considered a borderline NBA prospect entering the season, and now I think he's a top 10 pick, maybe a top 5 pick. Their offense is ranked top 3 in offensive efficiency in the country. So they are really, really good. And when this NCAA tournament starts, I mentioned the lack of talent throughout the NBA talent throughout the country as it relates to teams that are actually going to be in this 68-team tournament. As wild as it sounds, Dayton could enter the NCAA tournament as a one seed and have the best NBA prospect in the entire bracket in Obi Toppin. Both of those things are certainly surprising.
I was just going to ask you about Obi Toppin. Has he put himself in a position in a year where there aren't a lot of NBA draft prospects to be potentially, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but to potentially the number one pick? And is he a guy in March that could single-handedly lead Dayton to a Final Four?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be the number one pick. But I do think there's a scenario, and the reason I don't think he'll be the number one pick is because general managers still discriminate from an age perspective.
Right.
What I mean by that is they would rather draft the 19-year-old with the upside as opposed to, I think Obi's already 21. He was an academic non-qualifier coming out of high school. So he had to take a redshirt year, and now he's only a, quote, sophomore, but he's in his third year of college. And I think he did a prep school year as well. So he's already 21, 22. He is older than most of the other guys we're going to talk about at the top of the draft. Anthony Edwards is 18, 19. James Wiseman's 18, 19. Cole Anthony, 18, 19. LaMelo Ball, 18, 19. And I think that'll work against him. But I can just sort of circle this back to where I live, which is in the Memphis area. Brandon Clark is somebody who had the second-best player efficiency rating in college basketball last season at Gonzaga, behind only Zion Williamson, and yet he slipped all the way to 21st in last year's draft, because why would you draft a 21-year-old when there's this 19-year-old here with all the potential? Well, you look up right now, and guess who's got the number one player efficiency rating among rookies in the NBA? It's Zion, based on what he's done in these first 10 games. But second is Brandon Clark. And if you put together a first-team all-rookie team right now, Brandon Clark would be on it. And so that's another example where maybe just take the guy who's clearly awesome And that the Brandon Clark story might help Obi Toppin. So I guess I'd say this. I don't believe, because of his age, that he'll be the number one pick in the draft. Somebody's going to rather take, you know, a teenage James Wiseman or a teenage Anthony Edwards or a teenage LaMelo Ball. But if you told me, we looked up in 4 years, and Obi Toppin is the best player from the 2020 NBA draft, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Because when I watch him play, and I watch him a lot because we have a lot of Dayton games on CBS Sports Network, and I'm often in studio for those, it's hard to figure out a reason why he won't be a very good NBA player. He's bouncy, terrific athlete, dunks everything around the rim, super aggressive, but can also step away from the basket, pick and pop. He's really, really good. And yes, to answer your initial question, somebody who could absolutely lead Dayton to a Final Four and maybe even a national championship.
Gary, what comes to mind when I bring up the Big Ten to you this season?
Deep. It is among the deepest conferences we've ever had. They're not going to get 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. That's, you know, some people keep suggesting that. And it's possible, but I just don't believe it'll happen at the end of the day. But this is true, what I'm about to tell you. There are 12 Big Ten coaches that woke up this morning and could reasonably tell their teams, we have a shot to make the NCAA tournament. You can't get that percentage or that number in any other league. The only bad teams in the league are Nebraska and Northwestern. Every one of the other ones, all 12, Maryland, Penn State, Michigan State, Illinois, Iowa, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota, Indiana, they're all top 40 at KenPom right now, and by definition, still in play to earn an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So it's fun to watch, fun to keep up with, but a nightmare to coach in, because when I talk to Big Ten coaches, they'll say things like, listen, in years past, our league's always tough. You know, Michigan State's always in it. Michigan's always in it. Indiana's always in it. Ohio State's always in it. Purdue's always in it. But you could sort of go, okay, we can go win at Rutgers. We can go get a win there. And we can go win at Penn State. We can go get a win there. Now Penn State is like legitimately a top 15 team. Rutgers has been in the top 25 this season and is undefeated at the rack. Hadn't lost a home game all year. So that's when a league really becomes difficult. When you look at your road schedule and you go, who are we supposed to beat? Even if we're a top 15 team in the country, who are we supposed to go beat on the road in our league? And when the answer is only Nebraska and or Northwestern, then you're going to end up stacking losses. It's hard to go on winning streaks. Right now, KenPom projects that the first place team in the Big Ten will finish with a 14-6 league record, and that speaks to how difficult that league is. It's the best league in the country, and it's the deepest league in the country.
Gary, what impresses you the most about Luka Garza's game, and do you think he has a legitimate shot at National Player of the Year if he keeps putting up these numbers?
There's no question he's got a shot. Now, some of it comes down to how does Iowa close, because what history tells us is that it's not enough to just be statistically awesome. Otherwise, the leading scorer in college basketball would just be National Player of the Year every year in a ways that is often the case in the NBA. But often in college basketball, you don't even know who led the nation in scoring because it's typically a mid-major player from a whatever team. You need to be on a good team. And by good, I mean top 25 is the cutoff, really. You've got to be – I think I read somewhere earlier this week the past 9 players of the year were from a 7 seed or better in the NCAA tournament. So you've got to be statistically awesome and on a good team. The statistically awesome stuff, that's clearly there. He has been amazing this season. And if you're talking about, we discussed biggest surprises from a player, from a team perspective, San Diego State, Dayton. Biggest surprise from a player perspective might be Luka turning into what he's turned into. He was a nice player last season, but I don't think anybody, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody expected anything close to this. I mean, he is an overwhelming force, around the rim, out to the three-point line. And if Iowa, you know, can close this thing, you know, by remaining in the top 25 and in discussion to be a top 6 or 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, then he's going to have a chance. And then some of it's going to come down to what happens around him. Like what happens with Obi Toppin and Dayton? That's another legitimate possibility. What happens with Marcus Howard and Marquette? What happens with Vernon Carey and Duke? But right now, I feel comfortable telling you that Luka is going to be a first-team All-American. And depending on how these next few weeks go, he might absolutely be the National Player of the Year. He's a deserving candidate, undeniably.
We've got another great player here in the state of Iowa, A.J. Green at Northern Iowa. What do the Panthers have to do in order to be in the March Madness discussion this year? Do they have to win the tournament in St. Louis, or do you see them building a resume where they could get in as an at-large from the Missouri Valley?
I think they're definitely building an at-large resume. They just don't have the big signature wins that you would prefer, you know, an at-large team to have. But still, the computer numbers are pretty strong. 35th in the net, 37th at KenPom, 40th at KPI. Obviously, the record is tremendous, 20-3, 12-0 at home. But when you start breaking down their quadrant situation, which is what the NCAA uses and puts on team sheets, there's not a whole lot there. That's the problem. They're 1-1 in quadrant one opportunities, 2-0 in quadrant two opportunities. So 3-1 in the first two quadrants. And then this is not a killer, but it's the thing that keeps them outside of the top 25 right now. They've got two quadrant three losses, one to Illinois State and the other to Southern Illinois. Both of those teams are ranked outside of the top 145 in the NCAA's net rankings. And so undeniably, you know, that's a quality basketball team that can go to a Sweet 16 if it gets into the NCAA tournament. And I think it can get into the NCAA tournament without having to win the automatic bid. But some of that's going to come down to, and here's the truth, they don't really have opportunities to get great wins going forward. So the only option for them is going to just have an incredible record. That means avoid bad losses. If I were them, I would try to not, and of course they're going to try this, but if you want to feel safe on Selection Sunday, don't lose any more regular season games. And then if you slip up in the NBC tournament, I think with only four losses, you can make a reasonable case that they're going to belong in. But if you end up in a 5 or 6 loss range and you need a at-large bid on Selection Sunday and you've only got one win in quadrant one, that's where it's going to get a little testy because, again, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does not pick the best teams. They pick the most deserving teams based on the resume that you can submit to them. And the resume right now is probably fine. But the resume with a couple more losses and no additional good wins, that would put them, you know, that makes things a little shaky.
We talked about the depth of the Big Ten, and we also talked about how the bubble, you're looking at teams out of the Big Ten in 10, 11, 12 spots right now that have 5-7, 6-7 league records. Are we going to be having this debate on Selection Sunday about those teams against the UNIs of the world, and then the teams out of the Southern Conference like East Tennessee State and Furman and UNC Greensboro that have had excellent years, but only one of them out of the Southern Conference can get in?
Yeah, you know, like those conversations will take place. I can just tell you that they'll almost certainly go nowhere. The truth is, and nobody in charge will ever admit this, but the thing is rigged against schools outside of the traditional power structure. You know, the way the selection process works and the way scheduling works throughout college basketball, it is impossible. And I mean that sincerely. It is basically impossible for a Southern Conference team to build an at-large resume. One of my close friends is the head coach at East Tennessee State. His name's Steve Forbes. He's actually from Iowa.
Iowa native.
And he has done a tremendous job there, you know, is about to win 20 plus games again. And yet no matter what happens, he's going to have to win his tournament to be in the NCAA tournament. And when he and I talk about it, it's frustrating because it is now known that Steve is going to have a quality mid-major basketball team every single year. And so good luck trying to get somebody to play you. They're not going to do it. Like, hey, can we get a home-and-home with literally any Power 5 team? Nope, because nobody's going to go to Johnson City, Tennessee, to play East Tennessee State. Okay, well, what if we just come to your place? We'll just get somebody a little less than you to come to our place for a bye game. We don't really want to do that. And he doesn't help himself this season at all. I mean, he helps himself, but not in the conversation we're having right now. LSU says, you know what? Yeah, come on down. We'll pay you to come play us. And then he goes down to LSU and beats them by double digits. And so, like, well, what do you think Will Wade's saying? Well, we're not going to do that again. That was a mistake. They're too good. We're not going to bring them in. And so then you hope to maybe get in some of these neutral court events. But guess what happens? The Power 5 schools that are in them, when the event coordinators are trying to put this thing together, you know, they'll call up, you know, a Big 12 school that's involved or a Big East school that's involved, and they'll say, hey, we're trying to fill out the bracket with, you know, some mid-majors. What do you think about East Tennessee State? No way. We don't want East Tennessee State in this event if we can't lose a neutral court game to East Tennessee State. So the byproduct of all that is that you can't get games. And even if you get them, they're road games that you're not supposed to win. So then what happens on Selection Sunday? A team like East Tennessee State sitting there with 26 wins, 28 wins. And you know what all the power conferences say? Well, they haven't played anybody. They haven't beaten anybody. And then you know what Steve Forbes says? Yeah, but I can't play anybody because you won't allow me to play you. And then they say, well, that doesn't matter. It just matters what you can submit to the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee from a resume perspective, and there's nothing there. Whereas if you're in the Big Ten, like Rutgers, I think Rutgers is legitimately good. I'm not sure how much better Rutgers is, if at all, than East Tennessee State or Northern Iowa, but here's what I can tell you. Rutgers at this moment already has three quadrant one wins, six quadrant one slash quadrant two wins, and they've got one, two, three, four, five, six remaining quadrant one opportunities in the regular season. So that means that Rutgers, by the time Selection Sunday gets here, by the time the Big Ten tournament gets here, will have played 15 quadrant one opportunities. 15. Northern Iowa, I think, will have played two. And so, of course, the Big Ten teams and the Big East teams and the Big 12 teams can build at-large resumes when the other schools from the other conferences can't. It's because they get all the opportunities and the other ones don't get any at all. And so it's just – it's tough. I wish there were a way to fix it. I don't think there is. But until somebody comes up with a way to make the selection process a little more fair, then the good mid-major teams that don't win automatic bids, they're going to be reduced to going to the NIT more often than not.
Gary, before we let you go, one team that we didn't bring up with you is Iowa State, but you're involved with Coaching for Literacy, and I know that they've partnered with Iowa State to try to raise some money. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's going to be a neat thing tomorrow. If you happen to watch Iowa State's game with Texas, you might notice that Steve Prohm and his staff are wearing green ties and green lapel pins, and it's all designed to bring attention to the Coaching for Literacy Foundation, which is a foundation that works with sports teams, players, businesses, and fans nationwide to generate awareness about the importance of literacy. Because when I first heard this, it surprised me, and it's among the reasons I wanted to get involved. 65% of fourth graders in America are not reading on grade level. 65% in our country. This isn't 65% in a third world country on another continent. This is 65% in the United States of America. Fourth graders are not reading on grade level. And what studies show is that a person's ability to read, or in this case, inability to read, has a real impact on his or her life. If you can't read properly, studies show you're more likely to struggle to get a job, more likely to live in poverty, more likely to commit crimes. It's all connected, and it's something Coaching for Literacy has been working to change. So far, in just a few years, they've provided nearly $300,000 to fund 85 literacy projects, supporting more than 15,000 children nationwide. And the great thing about the foundation is that when Iowa State or Iowa or Northern Iowa or anybody else has a Fight for Literacy game connected to one of its games, the money generated from that game through sponsors and donations is reinvested in that community. So the money raised in connection with this Iowa State game is not going to be reinvested in L.A. or Chicago or Philadelphia or New York. It will be reinvested in the state of Iowa. It'll help children in the state of Iowa. And so it's a tremendous deal, and I really appreciate Steve and his staff being involved. And anybody who wants to learn more about it can go to the website coachingforliteracy.org, or you can just text Cyclones for Lit to 71777. That's Cyclones for Lit to 71777.
And the hashtag is Fight the Numeral for Literacy. And some of the money raised actually winds up here in Cedar Rapids at Grant Elementary. So, Gary, appreciate you joining us. And best of luck tomorrow. We hope that that event raises a ton of money. And always love having you on talking college hoops with us. Thanks a lot.
You guys were really nice to have me. Thank you so much.
Gary Parrish of CBS Sports. You can read and see him all over the CBS platform. You can also hear him in Memphis. Same station that your brother works at, or
no,
a competitor?
A competitor, 92.9 ESPN in Memphis.
We won't hold that against
No, he does. He does a fantastic job, and I listen to his show every once in a while. Covers a lot of things. Very knowledgeable about a lot of things, but he knows his college basketball. That's for sure.
So what we will do is we'll make sure that we have the link on our Facebook page as well as on Twitter. If you follow us at KGYM Radio on Twitter, the Iowa State partnership with International Paper trying to raise $3,000 for the program. And every $10 that you donate helps get two books for a young reader. And again, the primary beneficiaries of this weekend's fundraiser, the Raising Readers program in Story County, where Ames is located, and Grant Elementary here in Cedar Rapids. So if you want more details, you want to make a donation, and we encourage everybody who listens to the program to make a donation for this event. As a thank you for Gary for giving us his time here. Again, we'll have the link for you on our Facebook page, KGYM Radio, and on Twitter, at KGYM Radio. We'll also do our best to retweet it if you follow us individually, at Todd Brommelkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523. Is Buttons on Twitter? I don't know whether Buttons is on Twitter or not, but
we're
going
to have to investigate. And
he's waving
on
the other side of the glass right now. He desperately wants to give away our final $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse, and we're going to do that right now on Valentine's Day. Caller number 6-319-366-1600. Caller number 6 is going to take home that final $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. They're located on Highway 151 east of Marion, open year-round. And guys, they're open right now if you're looking for a literal last-minute gift. You get off work at 5 o'clock and you're going to walk home and walk through the door at 5:20 tonight and not have anything for Valentine's Day. Here's your get out of jail free card. Stop on in to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse and pick something up for the loved one in your life. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Buttons is going to let us know who our winner is, and then we'll be that much closer to the big hour tonight. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com and Nicholas Bear set to join us. Back with more after this.
This Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it's the famous President's Day sale at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers. Save on a huge assortment of colored stone jewelry up to 60% off. All in-stock watches up to 50% off. A blowout case of sterling silver. And a big selection of estate pieces. The President's Day sale, Saturday 9:30 to 5, Sunday 12 to 4, and Monday 9:30 to 6. Only at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, downtown Iowa City.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum Interior Paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Our new PXG Gen 3 irons are the best golf irons we've ever made by a long shot. Gen 3 irons deliver game-changing distance, outstanding accuracy, with a feel so soft, it's like spreading warm butter on a hot biscuit. Oh my! Gen 3 irons are sold only at PXG stores, PXG Fitting Studios, PXG.com, and at select custom fitters like Club Champion. To find out where to get your set, visit PXG.com or call 844-PLAY-PXG today.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
When you order Little Caesars Delivery, you'll save $5 or more over the other national chains on delivered pizza. It's the cherry on top of your pizza. Well, not an actual cherry, more of a metaphorical cherry, which is kind of a good band name.
Hello, we are Metaphorical Cherry!
Pizza Pizza.
Savings claim is based on the price of a delivered pizza order with delivery fees for the top four national pizza chains on a national basis. Comparisons based on one more large Little Caesars pizzas with up to 5 toppings and the other 3 pizza chains comparable large pizzas sold at everyday menu prices. Delivery available from participating locations with online orders only plus sales tax.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we'll make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, our professional parts people will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now through February 25th, get 15% off a set of brake best pads and two rotors. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $22 Shell gift card with a Pennzoil full synthetic purchase. Ends 2/23/20. Terms apply. Details at Pennzoil.com/oil change offer.
4:58, welcome back in. Glad to see so many people enjoying the Gary Parrish segment on the First Federal Credit Union text line. Gary, always great with his time. We do, by the way, have the link on Twitter and Facebook to that fundraiser. So if you're interested in donating or just want more information, check out our Facebook page, KGYM Radio. Give us a follow on Twitter at KGYM Radio. Congratulations, Ryan in Swisher. He's got our final $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. We'll see what we have in store for buttons to give away next week on Monday's show. 1 hour in the books. The 5 o'clock hour is right around the corner. The big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. Kicking things off with former Hawkeye Nicholas Bear. Still chasing his pro basketball dreams in the G League. Nicholas will join us next to give his thoughts on the Hawkeyes and more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. This just in, the 8 finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame have been announced, and it includes Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett. It's NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago, and as we hit the break, ESPN's Damon Jones on the two L.A. teams.
When it comes down to it, Denver can't stop the Lakers, okay? And that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Steph, I see you looking at me real tough. But listen, LeBron James, best player in the league, the Lakers number one, and the L.A. Clippers will be number two by the time of the regular season.
Damon Jones on Get Up. Tonight it's the Rising Stars Challenge game with Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and Team USA taking on Luka Doncic and Team World. It's on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app at 9 Eastern. Backlash to the Astros sign-stealing continue today. Yankees GM Brian Cashman says the Astros had a distinct advantage in beating the Yankees in the 2017 ALCS, again in last season's ALCS. Dodgers star Cody Bellinger says that the Astros stole the 2017 World Series from L.A. and Jose Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge.
Coming up Monday, the latest from week 2 of the XFL. Plus, NBA All-Star Weekend recap. What's next in the Major League Baseball sign-stealing scandal? Plus, who won the weekend? Golic and Wingo, Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar is turning 3, and they're throwing a party. Come celebrate with them on March 14th with an open mic comedy night at 7 and a show featuring professional comedian Carl Giannetto at 8. It's been an amazing 3 years at Brick Alley, and in that short time, they've become the number one sports pub in Marion. So come by March 14th and join the party. Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar, celebrating 3 years on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Guys, when it comes to your hair and your plan to win, Sport Clips Haircuts is just the place to do it. So when you need your A game, you know where to go.
Good hair, don't care, we got it. With the slick back, buzz cut, fade automatic. Got the shampoo popping, pompadour rocking. Baby, we're styling, always no nonsense.
To cut the wait, just check in online with our app or with your smart speaker. Then let Sport Clips Guy Smart Stylist take over. Catch some sports and walk out on top.
Get your hair in the game, Sport Clips the name.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
503, welcome back in. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM, also online at KGYMRadio.com. Plenty more to get to. If you missed anything from today's show, full 2 hours available for you online in podcast form. Same goes for the gym class earlier today as well. Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com, joining us in studio. We'll get a little deeper and circle back around to Iowa and Indiana last night, what lies ahead for the Hawkeyes as they head to Minneapolis this week in Williams Arena to take on the Gophers. But first, we always kick off the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City with a special guest when one is available to us. And Rob is lined up Nicholas Bear to come on with us this evening. Nick had a great Hawkeye career last year, now chasing his professional basketball dreams in the G League. And Nicholas, how are things going for you, man? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Things are going well up here in Toronto right now. We have our All-Star break right now, so we have a little bit of time off to rest and recover to finish the season strong.
For those that don't know, what's life like in the G League?
Life like in the G League, it's good. We like travel quite a bit. We've played 35 games already, and we have 15 more to go. So 50 game season. There's a lot of change, a lot of roster changes. I think it's something that I've learned a lot is adjusting on the fly and being able to adapt quickly because there's players getting traded, cut, or there's just a lot of movement, a lot of different things going on, so just adjusting to that lifestyle, but at the same time, understanding what your job is and what your role is, and continuing to do that at a high level.
Nicholas, what did playing at Iowa and in the Big Ten do to prepare you for professional basketball?
Yeah, I think playing at Iowa in particular, I think definitely taught me how to take a very business-like approach to basketball and how to understand that. Like the importance of being a professional. I think that starts with Coach McCaffrey definitely taking the charge there and making sure that we're prepared every day and every game. And I think that's something that I've transferred here to start my professional career, that business-like approach. And also, playing at a high level in the Big Ten, best conference in the nation, I think that helped prepare me as well. As every level, you go up, the athletes are better, the players are better. I think my time in Iowa and playing in the Big Ten definitely helped me prepare me for where I'm playing at right now.
Nicholas Bear joining us on the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, averaging about 17.6 minutes, 5.4 points a game for Raptors 905. What's the feedback been like? You're constantly getting feedback in the G League. What do you need to work on? What's going well for you? What are you hearing from coaches and front office personnel?
Yeah, I think something I really appreciate about Raptors 905 is they're very meticulous with their data collection and understanding how to give good feedback. And I think something for me is to continue to work on my outside shooting. I think that's something that I can do that's valuable, picking and popping, spreading the floor that way. And I think something that, just similar to my time at Iowa, being able to play with high energy for the minutes that I'm in there, being able to help defensively and keep the ball moving, not have the ball stick too much. And I think the main feedback I've gotten is to continue to shoot the ball at a high rate and just keep playing as hard as I can when I can.
the role that you played at Iowa, similar to the role now that you're playing in the G League, coming off the bench, playing about 18 minutes per game, what are the keys to being able to do that, to being able to kind of come off the bench fresh and make an impact in the game right away? Because you were able to really do that for much of your career in Iowa City.
Yeah, I think the important part is being able to stay ready at all times. And, you know, I think in the G League I'm learning, you know, you don't get quite as much rest in between games. So, you know, in college you get about two, sometimes 3 days in between games. But in the G League you get pretty much one, and sometimes you get back-to-back. So it's about how well do you take care of your body. And specifically for me, someone whose value comes from playing with high energy, making sure that I, you know, have my energy levels high. By taking care of my body, getting proper rest, I think that's important. But I think it's just important to understand what you do, what your role is, and to fulfill that role as best you can.
Be honest, you didn't see this coming from Luka, did you?
From Luka?
Yeah.
Not entirely. That's interesting. I mean, I didn't necessarily see it coming, but now that I've seen it develop, I'm not entirely surprised. So well, I think it's kind of like that. I think understanding that, you know, we had some guys graduate or transfer or go to the NBA, and I think that left a void that Luka's really taking advantage of, and I think he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, obviously, like, on the court, like, I mean, he's playing at a national player of the year level, but I think also his leadership skills and how he's been able to lead this team, that's been really impressive as well.
How does his preparation and practice and his routine, how does that match up against guys that you see in practice in the professional ranks?
Yeah, I think, you know, Luke is a guy who's always in the gym. I think you ask anybody, you know, whether he's there before practice, there after practice, you know, he's going in on his own. I think that similar work ethic is what I'm seeing at this at the professional level. And I think that's important, you know, no matter what level you're playing at right now, if you're in high school, you know, college, professionally, I think developing that strong work ethic that Luka Garza definitely has is really important as people want to progress. And, you know, if you want to play at the highest level possible, you have to continue to do the things that you did in high school and college and continue to work that way.
Rob has talked about it before, the position that you played in high school versus the position that you played in college, and now you're playing in the G League. You had to develop an outside shot. And when you look at Luka Garza, he's developed every part of his game so unbelievably to the point where he's playing out to the three-point line. He's hitting three-point shots at a consistent pace. How much time in the gym does it take to develop a skill like that that may not be your strong suit?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about Luka is I remember when he came in on his visit, I was his host, and we played like two on two, three on three, open gym type of thing. And he was just knocking down outside shots like consistently. Like, it was like you had to like press up like really closely on him. I think Luka's always had that outside shot. I think he's starting to shoot it with a bit more confidence now. But I think, I mean, he's worked on his shot a ton. I mean, like I said, like he's always in the gym. I mean, I think they have like a Journey episode coming out about him, if that hasn't come out already, about him and his dad. So, and like just how like hard he works in the off season. And I mean, it's just one of those things where like it's in your own hands. Like if you want to progress, if you want to, you know, continue to develop your skill set, like you just got to find a gym and get as many shots up as you can and continue to try to work to shoot the same shot every time and just keep working at that.
You talked about the level of talent and athleticism as you go up each level of basketball. I've heard the knock on Luka, he's just not athletic enough, and he's going to have trouble playing in the NBA because of that, foot speed, things like that. You're around guys that are going to play in the NBA, and hopefully you make it there as well. How do you see his game translating to the next level?
Yeah, I don't think it's a really good habit to try to doubt Luka Garza. I don't think that's something that a lot of people should do. So I think, I mean, he's playing at a really high level right now. I know he's got, I mean, low post moves, like, that are really patented, like, very talented there. But I think you mentioned earlier his ability to shoot. I think that being able to spread the floor, that's really valuable for him. Defensively, I think people don't really talk about that as much. I mean, obviously his offensive numbers are incredible, but defensively he's really improved too. You know, being able to stay out of foul trouble, being able to protect the rim. Like, I think he had four or five blocks last night. And I mean, I know, yeah, he might not be the most athletic, but he really, like, he plays the angles well. Like, there's some centers in in the league that aren't necessarily like the most athletic, but they can, they play the angles well, and they vertical really well. They can still protect the rim. So I think given Luka's skill set, like how skilled he is offensively, like there's definitely positions for him to play professionally.
Nicholas Baer talking with us for a few more minutes here on KGYM. I know you, your brother is on the team, so I imagine you are probably still following along pretty closely, but what have you thought of this run so far that the team has been able to make to this point this year?
Yeah, you know, I try to watch, you know, whenever I can. I was able to watch last night and like last few games, thankfully, so that's been good. But, yeah, I mean, I've been impressed with them. I think Coach McCaffrey's doing a heck of a job, you know, coaching these guys. And, you know, given how many injuries they're having right now, they're kind of getting bit by the injury bug quite a bit. But I think they're still in good hands. I think they – I mean, obviously, I think the position you want to be at this point of the year is being able to control your own destiny, and I think that's something that they definitely have right now. And it's been, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to watch Luka Garza, absolutely. It's been fun to see the emergence of T.J. Frederick. Like, that's been something that's been really fun to watch as well, and just seeing these guys all play together. And, you know, they seemed last year, like, I knew all these guys, so I'm still, like, staying in touch with them and being able to watch them and watch them continue to develop.
Speaking of C.J. Frederick, I know a lot of fans right now are biting their fingernails waiting to find out the prognosis of his ankle, but I think he kind of went through a similar situation that you did your freshman year where it was kind of a tough decision whether or not to redshirt. And he redshirted, you redshirted, it clearly benefited. You guys were ready to go your redshirt freshman season. What is that like? What is that year like, and how beneficial was it for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, the reason why I wanted to redshirt is because I knew I needed to improve my strength. I mean, I came in at, you know, like 6'7", 180 pounds. So, like, being able to play the Big Ten at that weight, that wasn't going to work that well. But by the time I came back next year, I was at right around 200. So being able to put on 20 pounds, that really helped me. And also just it builds your confidence a lot, too. I think that's the part that people don't really understand is being able to be on scout team. As long as you're running the plays like that they're setting up for you the right way, like you can pretty much do, like you can be aggressive, like you can, like no shot's really a bad shot for the most part. Like you get a chance to develop your game. I think, you know, right now a lot of people want to play right away. They want to play right away. And so I feel like that they have to be playing to, you know, improve their career. But you know, being able to take that year was really important for me. And I think it's definitely proven dividends for C.J. Frederick as well.
You're being, you know, in a, you know, close to Toronto. What's it like up there? What's it like being in a new city for you? Kind of first time pretty far away from home. Your parents were pretty close to you when you were in Iowa City. And do you run into Iowa fans up there?
I haven't run into a ton of Iowa fans up here, but pretty much any airport where I'm wearing Iowa stuff, I get to go Hawks. So I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. But I'm liking my time up here for the most part. It hasn't been too different. I mean, it's, the people are still pretty friendly up here. Still cold, so that's good. But I mean, I've enjoyed the people up here, and I'm gonna continue to try to finish the season strong. But yeah, so I'm liking it up here though.
Nicholas, a lot of people ask this question, and I can't figure it out, but college basketball, it seems like home court advantage is so big of a factor, and Iowa struggled on the road. It seems like everybody in the Big Ten and in college basketball struggles on the road. Why is it so difficult in college basketball to win on the road?
Yeah, I think, I mean, looking at the Big Ten this year, I think they started off like the highest home win percentage in 30 years or something like that. There's some crazy stat I saw, but I think when you look at specifically the Big Ten, how top to bottom, you know, tough it is, I think when you go on the road, there's extra challenges that you have. Obviously, with, you know, people, like, I mean, you're playing in a different arena, you're playing in a hostile atmosphere, but I think it's just tough to win, especially when teams are playing at home. They're more comfortable. I don't think you can necessarily pinpoint, like, one thing, because if you could, then, you know, all these teams who are struggling on the road would be doing it. But I think that's also what makes those road wins that much sweeter, though, understanding how difficult it is to go into someone else's place. And when you do win, you know, that makes it that much better. And I think for me, like, some of my most fond memories, my, like, best memories I had are after road wins. And that's what, you know, that makes them so much more special, is knowing how difficult they are to come by.
We part ways with a question on the text line for you, Nicholas. 0905 wants to know what part of your game you think has developed the most from your redshirt year to now.
From my redshirt year to now, I would say definitely my outside shot. I think that's something that I'm continuing to work on. But I think just coming out of high school, like, I really wasn't shooting threes hard at all. And then I think even like playing professionally now, making an adjustment to obviously like the line's further back, so making that adjustment to shooting a little bit deeper, that's been something. But you know, I think I've always played with a high level of energy and being able to affect the game that way. But I think really working on, you know, my three-point shot, being able to spread the floor, that's something that's been something I've always been working at and getting to continue to work at too.
All right, great stuff, Nicholas. Enjoy the time off, and we wish you the best. Hopefully we'll see you in the NBA awesome. Someday.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Nicholas Bear, the former Hawkeye, and Wednesday, March 4th, the Raptors 905 squad is in Hoffman Estates, Illinois at the Sears Center to take on the Windy City Bulls. That's the good news. You get an opportunity to friends and family go see Nicholas Bear. The bad news is it's like an 11 a.m. game. So probably have to make plans to attend that one if you want to catch him in person.
I want to go to the Paramount Fine Foods Center in Mishawaka, Ontario to catch a 905 Raptors game, home of the Mishawaka Steelheads of the Ontario Hockey League.
I will take your word for it on that. I wanted to ask him, and he probably wasn't going to throw any city under the bus, but the travel in that league is pretty far flung. There's Fort Wayne, Indiana, Uniondale, New York. That's where the Islanders play, right? The Nassau Coliseum, the old Coliseum. Greensboro, North Carolina, Lakeland, Florida, White Plains, New York. It's where Rob's Westchester Knicks call home. But Nicholas,
Des Moines, Iowa.
Who else?
Des
Moines. Woodbury's in the G League still.
Peter's got to be kicking around somewhere, right?
I think Peter Jock went overseas. I think he kind of moved on to the, hey, I need to make some more money.
Let's make some more. Yeah, and then it's good work if you can get it, the overseas money, but the G League is the direct tie, and Nicholas still working on some things there, but I don't think too many people would have expected him to be in this position when he first got to Iowa. He was such a Swiss Army knife for Fran McKay. You don't think that Fran would love to have him on the roster this year, just one more year, and especially right now, that type of player where you can just deploy him as a starter, as a reserve, gives you good minutes, can play a couple different positions, knock down shots, grab some rebounds. They would kill for a guy like that right now.
It was the game they got just destroyed by Villanova in the NCAA tournament. That was the first time it opened my eyes to this kid can play at this level. He was playing with NBA players. He was the best guy on the floor that day.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
By the way, Peter Jock is playing in France. Adam Woodbury with said Grand Rapids Drive.
I thought he was a Fort Wayne Mad Ant.
He was at one point in Westchester.
And he was in Westchester. And he was in Stockton with the Stockton Kings.
Okay, so Adam is doing the G League tour. 5:20. Let's get a big board update here before we step aside and take a quick break. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com in studio with us. Again, a big thank you to our good friend Steve Anderson of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the sponsor for the Big Hour, the 5 o'clock hour here every Friday. Steve and his staff now working on 16 years in the title settlement business on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. We always appreciate his support of KGYM. We got basketball to look back on, Iowa baseball. It's opening day for college baseball. All that and more coming up on the Big Board Update here with Alex.
It was a tough night for the Iowa basketball teams. The women suffered a 93-59 setback at the hands of Cedar Rapids native Brenda Fries and the Maryland Terrapins last night in College Park. The Terps are now alone in first place in the Big Ten at 12-2 in the conference, while the Hawkeyes fall to 11-3 in the Big Ten. Things may have actually been worse for the men. Despite 38 points for Luca Garza, Indiana defeated Iowa 89-77. Devontae Green of Indiana was the latest in a long line of players to have career shooting nights against the Hawkeyes. He had 27 points on 7 of 11 from beyond the three-point arc. On top of all that, Iowa's third leading scorer, CJ Frederick, left the game in the first half with an ankle sprain and did not return. It's opening day for the Iowa baseball team. They're in 92-degree and sunny weather in Port Charlotte, Florida, taking on Kent State. That game got underway at 3 p.m. Jack Dreyer was fantastic on the mound for the Hawkeyes. They currently lead it 2-0 in the top of the seventh inning. In other Iowa baseball news, former Hawkeye baseball player Justin Toole, who both played and coached in the Cleveland Indians organization, has been elevated to the Major League coaching staff as a hitting analyst. It may be February 14th, but there's no love lost between the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders and Waterloo Blackhawks. Those two rivals are going to battle it out the next two nights with a 7:05 p.m. puck drop in Waterloo tonight and a 7:05 start tomorrow night at the I'm on Ice Arena in Cedar Rapids.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com gives us his thoughts on the direction that the Hawkeyes could be heading in over their final six regular season games. Back with more after this.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
When you order Little Caesars Deliver, you'll save $5 or more over the other national chains on delivered pizza. It's the cherry on top of your pizza. Well, not an actual cherry, more of a metaphorical cherry, which is kind of a good band name.
Hello, we are Metaphorical Cherry!
Pizza, pizza.
Savings claim is based on the price of a delivered pizza order with delivery fees for the top four national pizza chains on a national basis. Comparisons based on one more large Little Caesars pizzas with up to five toppings and the other three pizza chains' comparable large pizzas sold at everyday menu prices. Delivery available from participating locations with online orders only plus sales tax.
We've got your best interest in mind. When you park your savings at DePaco Community Credit Union, you could earn more thanks to the above market rates. Locked in or liquid, fixed or variable rate. DePaco has options that give you the access to cash that you need, and your accounts are federally insured by NCUA. Your money for good. The deposits you make at DePaco are recycled into loans for your friends and neighbors. Now that's a concept in everyone's best interest. And you'll be money ahead with free tools like You Name It Savings Accounts, savings buckets for whatever you wish, and Change Up Savings rounds up your debit card spending to the nearest dollar, automatically moving that extra change to an account that you choose. Easy money. Let us pique your interest. See all our savings and deposit rates at DePaco.com/rates or call or visit any DePaco office to discuss the many ways we can help you save. It's in your best interest. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Find huge savings now through Sunday during Menards' Crazy Day Sale. Save $40 on this Corver Rocker Recliner, just $149.99. Dutch Boy Forever Interior Flat Paint and Primer in one. It's $17.98 a gallon after rebate. Ironstone Click Vinyl Plank Flooring with attached pad is $239 a square foot. Guardian R25 Fiberglass Insulation is $9.99 a roll. These deals are so crazy, they're available in-store only while supplies last. So hurry in to save big during Menards' Crazy Day Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
No matter what kind of entertainment you're in the mood for, sports talk or smart rock, you are covered with KGYM and Smart FM. A walk-off home run at the plate, or walk of life from dire straits, a long run from scrimmage, or the long run from the Eagles. Tune in anytime to satisfy your craving for infotainment. KGYM, 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, and now on 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. And Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids and 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
526, welcome back in as we wrap up another week of local programming here on KGYM. Don't forget, local programming will kick off on Monday. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes of the gym class will have their weekly conversation with Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. If you missed their show earlier today, the podcast of the Gym Class available online at KGYMRadio.com. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com in studio with us for the next 30 minutes or so. Plenty of Iowa discussion to get to. Men's and women's basketball, wrestling team going for an outright Big Ten title this weekend. But what direction is this team heading in now, Rob, the men after last night's loss at Indiana? Because I got the sense from a good portion of the fan base last night that there are two camps. Everything's fine or the sky is falling. There's not a whole lot of people driving down the middle of the road here with this team now.
No, and that's really, I don't get too deep, but that's reflective of society. We have to be polarized, right? We have to be one extreme or the other.
Embrace debate, Rob.
You know, it's just losing on the road in the Big Ten against, you know, in a tough place to play when you lose one of your best players by 12 points, you know, now we have to figure out how the rest of the season's going to go. We have to predict every game. We have to let's just see how it plays out. Obviously, it's going to be tough without C.J. Frederick. Exchanged some messages with his uncle, Joe Frederick, who played at Notre Dame when Fran McCaffrey was a assistant there. And nothing broken, no structural damage. He basically said to me this morning, he's hoping it's not season-ending and they get him back in a couple weeks.
It didn't look good with him being helped off.
It's a high ankle sprain, and
those can be nasty.
Yeah, and it looked bad when he went down. And I was thinking, Achilles or something like that.
You take him out of the mix, and it changes what Iowa can and cannot do.
And I think last night, where he was missed the most, I was okay offensively, and I know you don't want to have to get 38 and 16 from your top, but that's the way this team is built. Wieskamp and Garza are going to carry the offensive load, and it's nice to have Frederick there taking up some of that load. But Frederick's a really good perimeter defender, and Iowa just did not get out. And Devontae Green hit some ridiculous shots last night, but you still have to identify that, okay, this guy's hot. Run him off the line, and Frederick is really good at that, and I thought that's where they missed him the most last night.
But the offensive end of the court is sort of where I'm looking at long term without C.J. Frederick, because I'm not great at math, but I do know that those three carry the offense. You mentioned Garza and Wieskamp, and I think that the job that C.J. Frederick does of taking some attention away from Joe Wieskamp is the most valuable contribution he gives this team, because he is a legitimate threat that everybody in the Big Ten knows about. And I said that this 1-2-3 punch that they have with those three guys is really the most potent offensively that I think they've had in the Fran McCaffrey era. It's been by far the most productive as far as night in and night out. You know what you're going to get for the most part from those three guys. And I just wonder, I think back to that game against Maryland at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Maryland was awful that night, and I think Iowa did a good job defensively. They scored 67 points that night, and they won the game. Will they be able to get by and win some of these games without C.J. Frederick on the court? Because that takes away 11, 12 points a night from your game, from your team, because you're counting on him for those 11 or 12 points.
I think they could do it at home.
Right.
On the road, obviously. They're giving up 90 a game in the Big Ten road losses. That just, you cannot. And last night was, they gave up 16 offensive rebounds, turned it over 19 times, which led to 25 points for Indiana. You're just not going to win on the road like that. And when you're making yourself play extra defense by giving up offensive rebounds and turning the ball over, it's just a recipe for disaster. And they've got to be better at that. I think Toussaint and Evelyn combined for 9 turnovers last night. Can't have that out of your point guards. And to your point, Alex, when you looked at Indiana was so willing to let the other players beat them.
Yep.
I mean, Evelyn had 2 or 3 drives to the basket where there was nobody around him. He just laid it in. It was bizarre to see that.
We did mention last night Indiana, one of the better teams in rebounding margin in the country.
Yes.
I don't know how that is, but they continue to, and that was one of the Achilles heels last night for Iowa, undoubtedly. What impact or what difference would Cordell Pemsl have made last night if he were available?
Well, I think he'd help on the backboards. He's a good rebounder. That's one of the things he does pretty well. He's got some, he takes up some space and gets in there and he fights and, you know, is aggressive on the inside. He can give you some fouls. And he's a fourth year player. He knows what's going on out there. That was really disappointing to for him to let his teammates down like that. And hopefully he comes out charged up Sunday to make up for it.
I had a lot of people, as I said, kind of asking, well, why is he getting the minutes that he's getting? And those people are very quiet today, let's just say that.
And it's nothing against Riley Till or Austin Ash. I mean, they to have walk-ons be able to even give you minutes is a positive, but there is a reason why Pemsl is playing ahead of those guys.
Yes.
He shows in practice, obviously, what he can do, and we've seen Cordell. He does a little bit of everything, and, you know, his absence was big last night, and obviously they're going to need him going forward depending on how long CJ is out.
319-366-1600 is the number to participate on the First Federal Credit Union text line tonight. FirstFedCU.com/KGYM is where you can go to get details on how opening a new checking account at First Federal will land you $200. So next up for the Hawkeyes, they got 6 regular season games remaining, still 6 quad one games on the schedule. But the next one up, first order of business, a trip to the Twin Cities this weekend. It's a good Minnesota team. It's not a great Minnesota team. Can they win this game without Frederick on
yes.
the road?
Yeah, they can. I mean, they had a chance to make a few runs late in that game last night. And Franz Technical certainly didn't help. I thought it was goaltending, but you got to be smarter than that. And they just, you know, there was a, I think it was a possession where, a couple possessions where they could have gotten it under 10. And there was once where Bakari had a fast break. He was going and he got caught from behind and turned the ball over. They just made too many mistakes last night. And Indiana is, I watched Indiana throughout this season. They are poorly coached, undisciplined, and they got lucky they had Devontae Green hitting 7 out of 11 three-pointers last night.
Yeah, there was a point last night where I was sitting there, I think maybe 5 minutes remaining in the second half, and Iowa had turned the ball over. What'd they finish with? They finished
19.
With 19 turnovers. They had turned the ball over a dozen times. C.J. Frederick was out. They were making just mistake after mistake, and you mentioned Devontae Green could not miss, and I was sitting there, and they're down by 10. And you're thinking, okay, well, how is this possible? And then you realize that Luka Garza just doesn't stop. He doesn't stop in any situation. He played 40 minutes last night. He missed 20 seconds of that game, 38 points. And it's just, that's the difference with this team is, yeah, there are good players around him, but the safety blanket that he brings where you know you're going to get at least 25 points from him every single night, and you know you're going to get 10 rebounds, and you know he's going to hit big shots. That's why I don't completely discount this team, and that's what's, I think, given this team a lot of confidence, no matter what situation they're playing. And the problem is, like we've talked about, Rob, like you pointed out, on the road, the 3-point defense has just not been anywhere near good enough.
And I'm sure today and tomorrow, Gabe Kalscher, 22, Minnesota. He is on the – he's the guy. He's the Devontae Green on Sunday against Minnesota, and he's burned them before. I think it may have been last year up there at Minneapolis where he torched them from the three-point line. Identify where he is, and then I'll be interested to see because Luka obviously outplayed Oturo in Iowa City like he did against Sticks in Iowa City. And then Smith came back when they played in College Park and had a really good game. That matchup on Sunday is going to be key because Oturo is a guy that can play with Luka. I
thought he did at times in Iowa City.
He did, and I don't think he's a guy that you don't expect him to play even with Luka. But if he can make that a close matchup, it makes that the outcome even that much harder for Iowa on Sunday. And I think, has Minnesota been off this week?
They will have had 8 days to get ready for Iowa.
And Iowa played a night game on Thursday on the road, come back and play a noon game on Sunday on the road again. That's tough. Down players, down to whatever it is, 7 scholarship players.
Chances that Iowa can get a top four finish in the regular season and get a double bye at this point.
It's going to be tough, but I wouldn't put it past Iowa just because of the fight I saw last night at Indiana. I don't think, you know, it's not, and Luke is a big part of that. Nicholas brought that up, that he just doesn't, it's just hard. Like, Wisconsin tomorrow plays at Nebraska. That's the game that Iowa, I want to say, yeah, they gave it away. That's a game they shouldn't have lost. And now if Wisconsin goes and gets the win tomorrow in Nebraska, that's like an extra win for them. Penn State's got Northwestern at home tomorrow. It's not only what Iowa's doing, it's what the teams around it is doing.
And also the math here. They're 1-5 on the road, and they're 0-5 on the road in the Big Ten against, I'll say, teams with a pulse. They've struggled against, and are really 0-4, I should say. I'll throw Nebraska out of there. Realistically, without C.J. Frederick, you're looking and you're saying, how many of these remaining 3 games can they win on the road? Can they pick off one? Would people be happy with one?
Can't lose at home.
And you can't lose at home, but Ohio State, Penn State, and Purdue. They have to run the table and go undefeated at home in order to get into that top four. So I
what's the best you hope for on the road? They're at
I think one and two.
At Minnesota, at Michigan State, Illinois. I mean,
1-2.
Yeah.
So that's the reality of the situation.
So if you go 3-0 at home, which isn't a given, those are all pretty good teams. You know, that puts you at what, 12-8 in the league?
Correct.
Does that put you in the top four? I don't know.
I guess it's possible with the way that the Big Ten looks, but at least in the top six, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it's the draw, too, when you get to Indy. You know, which side of the bracket are you on? Are you playing early games? Are you playing those horrible late games that are, you know, everybody's half asleep? We'll see how it shakes out.
It's going to be a really interesting Big Ten tournament this year because there are 12 teams that could probably make some noise. And I still put Iowa in that category, but they're going to need C.J. Frederick to rejoin them sooner rather than later. 5:39. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll have one last segment with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com here on Friday's Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement.
This Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it's the famous President's Day sale at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers. Save on a huge assortment of colored stone jewelry up to 60% off. All in-stock watches up to 50% off. A blowout case of sterling silver and a big selection of estate pieces. The President's Day sale. Saturday 9:30 to 5, Sunday 12 to 4, and Monday 9:30 to 6. Only at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers. Corner of Dubuque and Washington, downtown Iowa City.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum interior paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-253-3660. 1-800-253-3660.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you ordered some wipers online with our free same-day store pickup? No problem. We'll grab those for you so you can get back on the road. You know, we also offer free next-day delivery. You just order what you need on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m., and we deliver it to your front door the next day. It's perfect for those projects that can wait until tomorrow. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible items on orders over $35. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. So she went to ZipRecruiter.com, posted her job, and found the right person in less than 2 weeks. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. It's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Spain. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Spain.
Welcome back at 5:43 on a Friday edition of the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn as we wrap up another week of local programming here on KGYM. Iowa State and UNI in action this weekend. You can catch the Cyclones and Panthers on our various frequencies. Make sure you visit KGYMradio.com for a full weekend schedule. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com along with us here over the final, let's call it 9 minutes this evening before we all go our separate ways. I don't know. Is there anything else that needs to be said about Iowa basketball at this point, or have we covered all the ground that we can? I mean, it's not a great.
Let's dig into bracketology, and
it's not a great place to be in if you're the Hawkeyes. But win the games that are in front of you, and you're still going to be in the NCAA tournament. So hope that CJ Frederick's ankle sprain isn't terrible. That he gets back sooner rather than later, and that you can get hot and make a run at the Big Ten tournament.
So a couple of weeks, if that's the case, would bring him back sort of toward the tail end of the regular season, if my math is correct.
Purdue and
Illinois. That's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Any wins right now are sort of icing on top of the cake. I think realistically, not that the top four his spot in the double bye in the Big Ten tournament is completely out of reach, but without him for a couple of weeks in the stretch that they have, I think that it's more about padding their resume and trying to get the best seed that they can in the NCAA tournament and making sure that it doesn't take a hit the way that maybe it has in years past with sort of a backslide. And I'm not talking about this team fading away, but
he said the F word.
He said
not
it earlier.
Supposed to say the F word on the air today.
I said it once, just as Todd did. But
well, I had to say it in order to say what word we were not going to say.
Right,
today.
And I had to say it that's not what I was getting at. But I do think that the top four seed is probably a little bit of a pipe dream at this point. But can they win a game on the road? That's going to be a big question. And I think if they're going to win one, it's going to be on Sunday. I just don't have any faith in them going away from Carver Hawkeye Arena.
I think one, and I think we'd agree on this, you have two all Big Ten level players.
Yes.
The player of the year, and then another really good, probably second team all Big Ten, I think Wieskamp probably makes. That gives you a fighting chance every night out. And if they can just tighten up the defense and rebound, and I know that's been the Achilles heel of this program for the last several years, particularly on the road. Comes down to those there are things that are effort. And you wonder if the effort can be there when you're asking the 6'11", 260-pound guy to play 40 minutes every game. You just
that's
wonder
tough.
How they hold up.
That was the thing last night. It's like, is Luka Garza, when he stepped out on the wing with like 2 minutes to go and buried a triple after he had played 39 minutes and or whatever he did last night. It's like, my goodness, he's in just ridiculous shape at this point in his career. But like you said, you just can't count on him doing that every single night.
He's Batman. And Wieskamp's Robin. And we just need to have some pieces around there. I think Connor can make shots. He just seems so tentative.
Right. It seems mental with him.
Yeah.
We've seen him hit shots. He's not a bad shooter.
And he's big enough, guys, to go inside and maybe get some things in the post, too, with some of the guys he's playing against at, you know, when they're guarding him with guards, with perimeter players. I think he can do that.
You think that's something that maybe Joe Wieskamp needs to take more advantage of at times? Because we've seen him do that and do it very effectively.
If you guys have noticed, when he gets going recently, the last two or three weeks, it's when he goes to the
right.
basket. It's when he drives to the basket. It's when he kind of just drifts around the perimeter looking for a three-point shot where he kind of disappears for portions of the game. He can't do that. And I really think, I don't know if you guys would agree with me, this is time for Ryan Kreener.
Yeah.
This is the end of his career. It's time for him to not get in foul trouble and to play smart basketball. And he has not, and he'd admit that, he's not done that the last couple of weeks.
319-366-1600 if you want to chime in on the First Federal Credit Union text line. Tough loss all around last night. The Iowa women going to Maryland, and Maryland's biggest margin of victory since joining the Big Ten over another Big Ten opponent. Iowa just couldn't do anything last night against the Terps.
And Brenda Freeze trotted out the Hoosiers thing with the let me know what type of gum they're chewing. Did you catch that? They went into the locker room. Was it the Big Ten Network went in the locker room for her pregame, and she said, I want to know what type of gum the Iowa players are chewing. That's the type of defense we need to play.
They did a good job of that, and we'll see. We'll see Iowa can rebound. They've got Wisconsin on Sunday at home. Should get back into the win column there. And big weekend at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. You got the women taking on Wisconsin, but the Iowa wrestling team taking on Minnesota. An opportunity to win an outright Big Ten championship. And a little bit of news earlier this week: Tom Brands, Terry Brands, Ryan Morningstar getting contract extensions through the 2026 season. I don't think anybody can argue about the direction of the wrestling program at this point. What do you make of the TJ Bowler stuff earlier this week? We've only got a couple minutes left. I wish we had more time to get into this, but is this making the rounds on Hawkeye Nation?
Oh yeah, I wrote about this last month at the when the dead period was ending, and he had mentioned to me that Iowa hadn't been in contact with him much, which set the alarm off for the Iowa Hawkeye fans. Why aren't they recruiting this kid harder? And then TJ got back to me the day after my story ran and said that Kelvin Bell and Tyler Barnes, the recruiting coordinator, had contacted him, said that Kirk and Brian Ferentz were coming out to his basketball game. His basketball game ends up getting snowed out. And then they lose contact with him again. And then Tyler Devine for allhawkeyes.com wrote the story the other day, which was kind of a follow-up on my story. And it was a good story out of him that TJ again was upset that Iowa had lost contact with him. And that came the same day that Alabama and Texas A&M had offered him scholarships.
Perfect storm.
So, yeah, there was a little frenzy in there. But I don't know for... Here's what I know about his recruitment with Iowa. He formed a very close bond with Reese Morgan, who started recruiting him. I mean, TJ's been a recruit since he was a freshman. And when Reese stepped away, I think Iowa lost a little bit of that connection with TJ, and it's kind of faded since then. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't reformed. And there's the narratives out there that he wants to play in a 3-4. He told me that that's not going to be the deciding factor. It just doesn't seem like there's a good connection there between he and Iowa right now. Iowa will be fine. TJ Bowlers will be fine. We'll all move on and live a happy life.
Whether or not they wind up together in the end or not, but it's a story we wanted to make sure that we touched on a little bit with you here in the studio. 319-366-1600. Again, the text line. Quite happy to hear from Nicholas Bear earlier today. If you missed our segment with him, you can get the podcast at kgymradio.com.
Very quickly, there's another in-state recruit, Rob, that's getting a lot of attention out of Lewis Central.
People are going to hate me for this. Grew up a Nebraska fan.
uh-oh.
And you'll have that out in the Council Bluffs, Omaha area. I think he likes Iowa a lot. I wrote about him last month, too, and he's really connected well with the coaches. Obviously, tight end is a great, you know, Iowa has a great tradition at that position. But Alabama offered him same day as it offered TJ or the day after. So Saban coming into the state, trying to get recruits out of the state of Iowa. Nick Saban.
He's done it before. Yes. Went to Cedar Falls, as has been well documented.
If you're throwing salt in the wound.
If you're talented, they will find you. And it's going to be interesting to follow along with the recruiting exploits here. Gives us something to talk about here in Eastern Iowa. That'll do it for a Friday edition of the program, The Big Hour with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com, coming to an end. Again, if you missed anything from today's program, including our segment with Gary Parrish in the 4 o'clock hour, podcast available at KGYMradio.com. Local programming returns on Monday at 3 o'clock.
Friends, let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and is now already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. Go to MyComputerCareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online just 2 times a week. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Hey guys, Mike Golic here. Athletes are still athletes when they're off the field. That's why they still need to make good choices, like staying hydrated with Bolt 24. With antioxidant vitamins A and C, electrolyte from watermelon and sea salt, and no artificial sweeteners or flavors. Bolt 24 is all-day hydration for all-day athletes. It's available in delicious flavors like watermelon, strawberry, tropical mango, and mixed berry, and can be found in the sports drink aisle at most major retailers. Bolt 24, all-day hydration.
Here's a life hack you won't find in any podcast. The fuel you put in your engine matters. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered with 4 levels of defense against gunk.
Sports director Scott Unash.